Chapter 6, The Voyage. If you were to look at this famous ship on which these people came to America, you would see that she was quite a small ship. She measured about 90 feet long and 24 feet wide. If you will measure this off on your school building or in the street somewhere, you will see how small a ship she was. Think of crossing the ocean 3,000 miles in so small a boat. She was for that time, however, quite a large ship. There were at both ends of the ship a sort of large house built up high, which they then called a castle. In the one at the front of the ship, called the bow, the crew lived, and it was called the forecastle. On the other end there was a similar house, somewhat larger, and in between was a sort of open space, where there was a deck much nearer water. There were also three masts, two of which carried a sort of square sail, and the third of which has a different kind of sail, called a lateen rig, such as is still used by small boats around Italy. The Mayflower was, for those days, a large, roomy, comfortable, safe ship, and a good sailor. There were about 15 or 20 men in the crew and 102 passengers. Only 35 of these came from Leyden in Holland. The rest came from England direct. 44 were men, 19 were grown women, mostly wives of the men, and 39 were boys and girls. Many of these children were quite small. You'll be interested to know that a good many of the pilgrims were therefore children no older than those who read this book. For all of the fact that the ship was quite a large one for the time, they were quite crowded in it. In the house at the front of the ship lived the crew, and in the castle at the stern or rear end of the ship lived the passengers. They slept in small cabins on shelves, which were called berths, one above the other, sometimes three or four in a tier. The ceilings of the ships were all so low that the tall people had to be very careful not to knock their heads as they passed along. In the middle of the ship there was quite a big space, both inside and on the main deck, which was open to the air. It was not as large, however, as most good-sized schoolrooms. This was filled chiefly with a long boat which they were taking over with them and which they expected to put together when they got there. They carried no cows or horses, though perhaps hens, chickens, and some goats. We know there were two large dogs and one little dog on board. They all lived for 2 whole months on the ship. They did not have as nice food to eat at sea as we have now. They had bacon and large, hard, dry biscuits, and very salty beef, quite tough, and a small smoked fish called herring, and cheese. For luxuries, they had butter, vinegar, and mustard. Think, if you can, of a time when those things were luxuries. For very great luxuries, especially for those who were sick, they had lemons or prunes. Think of that. They did not sit down at table on shipboard and have a nice hot meal, because there was no table large enough for them all, and no place to put it if they had had one. The food was given out once or twice a day, and was eaten by the people, sitting or standing wherever they could. Very little of it was hot food. Cooking had to be done over a big box of sand or gravel, in the middle of which they kindled a small fire of wood, for they did not have coal in those days. Over this fire, on a rod or iron frame, they hung a kettle and so made porridge or soup. They could also hold over the fire on long forks small pieces of bacon and thus toast them. They did not, however, do a great deal of cooking on shipboard in those days. So, in this kind of a ship, with just this kind of food to eat, all of these people started across the wide ocean straight to America. The weather for many days was fine and the sea quite smooth. They enjoyed themselves very much, despite the fact that whenever the waves dashed at all high, a great deal of water ran over the sides in the waist of the ship. In the middle of the ocean, however, a great storm came up. The wind blew hard and the rain came. The lightning flashed and the thunder rolled. The waves tossed the ship about so much that a great beam right in the middle cracked with a great noise. It sprang forward somewhat out of place, and they thought for a while that the mast was going to fall. After a great deal of hurrying and bustling, they brought a great iron screw out of the hold. This they placed under the beam, and with much pulling and hauling and hard work, with stamping and shouting, they pushed the beam into place once more. They tied it fast with ropes and put in big nails and screws so that it should not come out again. Not much else happened on this voyage. It will interest you to know that a little baby was born at sea, who was named Oceanus, after the Latin word for sea. After 2 whole months, 8 long weeks at sea, they finally came in sight of land in November in the year 1620. The sailors called it Cape Cod, after the fish which were found so plentifully near it. For a time they sailed south from this land, but found the ship presently among great shoals with big rocks sticking up in the water around them. They were frightened and turned the ship around and came back. Finally they anchored in the safe harbor, now known as Provincetown, Massachusetts.